Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back to another episode. So today we have with us Amanda Watson Johnson. Amanda is an alignment and wellness coach, a flower essence alchemist, and host of the Chime In with Amanda Watson Johnson podcast. Her work is founded in realigning mind, body, and spirit to move with the natural world instead of against it, while tapping into ancient remedies that create catalytic change and alchemize shifts so that they can raise their frequency. So, of course, we have a lot to unpack because there's a lot to this conversation, which I'm super excited about, because before we even hit record, we were just talking about like the small towns where we grew up and where she's at now and all the things that had come from just taking that step back in life, where it's almost glorified this whole hustle and grind culture, where we're here to shed some light on that hustle needs to stop and we need to start turning inward and listen to what is actually going on. So welcome, Amanda.
Aw, thanks so much. Yeah, you're speaking my language. I love it. When we were talking a little bit before, it was like chills because it's so nice to share space with someone that's completely aligned with our mission and our purpose is so similar. So thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And I know that just what you were sharing with me before I hit record, I'm like, I definitely want to note that, like, bring it into this conversation because I know with reading the bio can be like, oh, that's awesome. But how did you get into the works? Tell us the backstory, right?
Yeah. So I have always been, I've always been a student of studying better ways to be living. That has always been something that's interested me. And so I can't read enough and study enough and listen to enough podcasts. And so I knew that I wanted to have a podcast where I interview my mentors and thought leaders on ways that we can be living better. And I launched that in 2020. But really what changed the course of my life was, I guess it was the second year into COVID, July of 21, I received a divine download and I was in our bedroom sitting on our sofa, looking out the window, and it was so clear. And it was, take your son out of his school that he's been in all of his life. Homeschool him for at least a year. Travel the world with him. Show him different cultures. Show him different countries, because we had never really exposed him to that prior. And move to a wholesome, small community that is free of crime or has very little crime. I was in Memphis, Tennessee at the time and born and raised, lived in San Francisco for a little bit after high school, but mostly lived the majority of my life in Memphis. And the crime just kept rising. We've always been a really crime-ridden city, always top five most violent cities in the U.S. Something happened during COVID and there was just this dramatic rise in crime. But it hadn't even really started to rise radically yet when I had that download. But I knew to trust the messaging of what I was receiving. And I know, now I can see it so clearly. I know it was straight from heaven. And I told my husband that night, I said, how would you feel if we did this? And I remember I took him out to dinner. I was like, I don't know how this is going to be received. And thank the good Lord that I'm married to this man, because I think most others would have laughed me out of the restaurant. But he was like, I'm open. I don't know. It seems like a huge undertaking. Like, we don't even have the money to travel. How would we do these things? And so I said, I don't know, but I just trust. Like, I know that this download came from above. And I just trust that if we follow the breadcrumbs, everything will work out, will come into play, and a path will be presented. And so that's what happened. And so I started from that time researching, homeschooling and what does that look like and how could we do that? And so little by little things came into focus, and the path you know, was presented little by little. It did not happen overnight. I didn't have great clarity from the beginning. I just had to keep showing up day after day, trusting that I would learn a little bit more and a little bit more would become clear. And that's exactly what we did. We took him out of school. We homeschooled and we traveled and we'd come back. We'd take a trip. We'd come back and we'd work and homeschool. And then we'd go and take another trip and we'd come back and we'd work again. It's not like we could take a year off of our life and travel the world. There's no way. We both have jobs. And so we did that. And then ultimately we found a town that my husband had been coming to since he was a baby in North Carolina in the mountains. And he had family that had a home here. And he had been taking me here since the beginning, I think, you know, when we started dating some 20 years, odd years ago. And so we just took a leap of faith and we did it. And it was the best thing that has ever happened to me, was kind of rewriting our story and reclaiming, instead of feeling like, you know, a victim of our circumstances. I think we were both dissatisfied with aspects of our life. We were exhausted from the hustle and the grind. We lived in this frenetic, we both worked really hard at our day jobs. And then when we would get off our jobs, you know, it was practices, school practices, social events. I mean, I think we did something every night of the week, you know, honestly, 4 to 5 nights a week, you know, it was something. And we were so sick of living that way. And so to kind of reclaim and say, hey, let's do a reset and let's live differently. It's been an empowering and inspirational process. Not all easy, not all rainbows and butterflies, not free of fear, not free of anxiety, not, you know, it wasn't all just this magical process, but it's now that I'm on the other side of it and we've been here for, you know, I guess we've been in this house for 2 years and living here full time since August of last year. Now I can see it. I can zoom out and I can see that the perfect plan was absolutely laid out for us. So yeah.
That's amazing. I love that you had just followed what God had called you to do. He gave you that download. And sometimes we question, you know, we don't really have that awareness to know that that's the same intuitive guide that's within us, our Holy Spirit leading us to that next step, that next thing. And sometimes it could be, you're like, okay, did I hear that right? Or, you know, what is, like, none of this even makes sense. And it's almost like when we have that so far-fetched download that it doesn't make sense, that's really the path of where we know that this is beyond our own thinking. We would never place that thought in our head, right?
Right.
Yeah. Wow. I love that, because you're like, okay, this I know is not me. I would never have thought this. So I start pursuing this little by little, day by day, and things start unfolding and the clarity will come. And I think that in our space, and especially in the online space, where we're told to keep focus on the vision or have a clear vision, because that will determine our next steps, where this is literally blind faith. This is trusting without a plan and knowing that as you continue showing up day by day, little by little, step by step, the clarity unfolds. And now you're realizing hindsight is your best teacher. And you look back and say, yep, that was God this whole time. And so you know there's this alignment that we're on the right path. And it had to take you out of your environment for you to really see all that is going on. And you see now that this was such a blessing because of the increased crime and being in the city, and recognize that your son could be victim to what could be happening. And so looking back, you're like, wow, this is where I need to be. And for those listening, there's a lesson here. What is on the calling of your heart that maybe you kind of pushed aside because it doesn't make sense and you don't have the clarity or the next step? Really think about that and tune in, because that intuitiveness that's within all of us is what is piping up, is trying to whisper that, but some people are overwhelmed by the noise of our everyday living. And I want to bring that now to my next point, to where you're at, is you were living a life by the demands and the pressures and all these things in Memphis where life dictated your living, but now you're living to create a life. And that is the beauty of it. There's two things, because hustle will keep doing the living, the constant doing, where now you're in a being place where you can really take in your livelihood, your family, the downtime, the quaintness, and really appreciate the simplicity of our otherwise complex world. And you've done some really cool things that you were sharing with me before we record. So you started like harvesting flowers and nature. And tell us more about that. That's so intriguing.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So let's back up for a sec. So one thing I do want to mention is I feel like we all have intuition. We all have it. And I believe, it's my belief, that that's just God speaking to us. I quit drinking socially in November of 2020. I had the download in July of 21. I truly believe because, and when I say socially drinking in the South, not everyone, but there are a lot of us, social drinking is much more than what I think the average person may do in other parts of the world. So we drink for everything in the South. You know, we drink to celebrate, we drink to grieve, we drink when we cook dinner, we drink to go out to dinner, we drink when we're at a concert, we drink when we're tailgating, and we drink and we drink and we drink. And so when I say I gave it up, it was a big part of my life and our lifestyle. And it left me perpetually numb. I now know that. I knew it then, which is why I think I quit. But I think because I was able to shed certain toxic behaviors, and when I allowed space and let them go, I was able to tap into my intuition more readily. And so that's been the biggest gift of giving that numbing agent up, is that it has allowed me to tap into it. And it's actually, it fires a lot. It speaks to me a lot. I'm like, that connection with God is so much stronger now that I don't have anything in my body that's competing or numbing out that voice. And so that's why I believe I could really hear that call in July. So then when I got up here and I bought some land in the forest and amongst the Blue Ridge Mountains, I was just with the land and I was quiet, and I had actually let go of so much of that frenetic lifestyle, that hustle, that grind. I still have my day job. And, you know, that does require a lot of work, but I was able to quiet that frenetic aspect of life, just being on this land, being in the mountains, being surrounded by nature. And because I was able to kind of answer that call of the forest, which ultimately came from the download, I have been able to kind of come to this place of solitude. And because I am quiet and with the land and in this place of peace, I can kind of hear these things that were calling me, which I never would have heard before. I mean, I don't think that ever would have jumped out. So I was on the land for a little while. I was starting to learn how to grow our own food and planting gardens and raised beds. And I hired an organic farmer to teach me and to become a mentor of mine and my son, of how we do grow our own food. And the more I sat on the land, these wildflowers were everywhere. And I'm talking, the variety was incredible. And something in me was like, you need to research flower essences. I hadn't had much of an experience with it. And so I just immersed myself in research. I took classes. I started buying different brands of flower essences. I started using them. So it was yet another divine download. And I was having these great results. And I loved the fact that it was an ancient remedy that's been around since the beginning of time, and that people have used these to help shift energies within them, whether you're having an issue with resentment or you're feeling like you don't know what your purpose is, or you want a sense of calm, or you're feeling anxious and overwhelmed. There was a flower essence remedy for all of these issues, which we typically, you know, in the Western culture turn to pharmaceuticals, or give me an antidepressant, or give me an anti-anxiety, or, you know, I'm going to cope with numbing with food or whatever it is. There was something really unique and different that was going on with this ancient remedy of flower essences, where I was finding great healing that was happening, but in the most gentle of ways and in the most subtle of ways. And it was a beautiful. And so I started experimenting with mists and elixirs and serums and just had the greatest results. So the more I studied, the more I learned the way that I felt called to do it. And so I eventually created my own flower essence line, which was a really, and that process actually was really magical. That was not overwhelming. I could at that point trust, okay, look, I've been brought up here for a reason. I'm on this land for a reason. I trust, and I am just going to move forward. And I did. And so I created Forest of the Ferns Botanicals, which, you know, is a flower essence line, and it helps with different things. And so I have a few different products that can help with. One's called Reclamation, one is called Surrender, and the other is called Release. But what I love doing are private consultations. So I mix in my coaching work with creating a customized flower essence for someone based on what they're going through. And I have 20 some odd different flower essences that I pull from, which came from the land.
That's incredible, because how many of us don't even really take the time to stop and look around our surroundings and realize that this is nature, like God created it. So it's there for purpose. It's not just to, you know, to decorate our yards or, you know, be fancy on a flower, you know, send flowers or something like that for a special occasion.
Yeah.
And as you're talking, I'm reminded of just my hometown, my small little rinky-dink town that I grew up at in the South Towns outside Buffalo, New York. And every time I go home, and I go home during the summers, at least every month, because it's a way for me to escape and reconnect to a much more simpler time and simpler place. So I go back to my hometown in the childhood home. And every day that I'm there, I go for this long walk. So taking my city in me now, I say, I go around the block. There's no blocks. You're in the middle of the country.
Right.
So go for this hour walk. And I'm always aware of the sounds, the smells, the breeze, the sun as it's dipping in and out of the clouds and the trees. And just, I'm so fully present in a way that I'm not here in Columbus, Ohio.
Like
we live in the suburbs. It's just different. So I have to go venture out to a park to kind of get that ambiance. But there's something different when it's your home.
Yeah.
And on this walk, I will always come back with like berries and pines and cattails and wildflowers and ferns. And it's this whole bouquet. And I come home and I, you know, my parents are there still as our childhood home. And I just, it's so beautiful to pick up this bouquet of just life and earth and beauty and gift it to my mother. And she's the subscriber.
So sweet.
So it's one of those things that come full circle. And when you're surrounded by that, you can't help but to be in such a better, clear mental state.
Yeah.
And I think that as we have been conditioned, to your point, that we typically numb out or we're distracted or we find ways to really minimize the noise and chatter that's in our minds because of the hustle or because of the constant demands that we put on ourselves, that we miss that simple, quiet inner voice.
Yeah.
And I think that just for me, maybe it's just, I think you could probably relate. It's you're in a season of being, just being. It's so much easier.
Oh, it's so much easier.
Right. There's this inner peace, this training. Yeah. And when you are in a place of being, everything else just kind of hush. And there's this quiet stillness.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful gift that you get to give yourself. And I love that you brought this into your family, into your dynamics, and you recognize like this being isn't much about being bored or trying to fill that void or that stillness or quiet, but a curiosity to go seek and find something creative or inspirational. And you've self-taught yourself in how to, what's the word with the forage, I think it is, where you can cultivate the property that you're on. And you found ways to teach yourself and you built this beautiful Forest of the Ferns brand and a line to really take in all of what God has created and use it as a way to help others and help yourself and your family. So realizing, you know, there's the essential oils and things like that, but you're finding what is unique for the property. And I think that to my point with the property, isn't it true where your body and your alignment and just the harmony of the environment that you're in takes on a whole different calling? Whereas if you were to try to find flowers or properties from a different climate or environment, it doesn't necessarily resonate because you're in a different environment. I don't know if I'm explaining that correctly.
Yeah, no, but you're correct. Yeah, okay. You're correct. Yeah. And it's,
I'd love you to talk about that.
Yeah. And so what I've learned is that typically the land that calls you is actually where you need the most healing. So, and whatever is on that land is actually what's being brought to you to heal you. And it's the same with growing your own food. And it's like the foods that grow the best in that environment are actually there to heal you. And it's, I think it's so beautiful because it's like, wait, you know, I think part of my purpose is to encourage others to return to nature. And our bodies are brilliant and they are self-healing machines. And we've just been so conditioned and so programmed to believe that we have to outsource our healing to institutions, to government, to pharmaceutical companies. I mean, we could insert 1,000 different things when really, actually, I think God gave us the answer and it's all right here. We have it. Our bodies self-heal, nature heals, and it's always been available to us. But the problem is it's not a moneymaker. And so that's why it's been hushed and shunned and all the things that have happened really since the beginning of time when people were speaking out about using the earth to heal us. And so it is, it's beautiful. I mean, I think now it's, I look around and now that I actually have studied all the wildflowers that grow on this land and I now know their healing attributes, it's like, well, of course I was drawn to this piece of land. And, you know, when I walked on this land, it brought me to tears. And the real estate agent that was helping me was like, oh, is this what happened when you tried on your wedding dress for the first time? And I was like, no, I was never brought to tears from trying on a dress before, but this has never happened to me. I've never walked on a piece of property and been brought to tears. And I just knew, I just was like, I felt the energy of the land and of the forest. And it just immediately was just this like embrace of like, this is where you're supposed to be. And really, we should have never been able to buy it because this market where we are, it is people buy homes, cash offers, often sight unseen, often way above asking price. We didn't have cash. I needed a traditional loan, you know, so there's no reason why I should have gotten this house because the market's so competitive and we were not playing in the field that most of the buyers were playing in. We were not in that game. We were in totally a different game and we couldn't compete. And so the fact that we immediately made an offer, they took our offer. We had somebody right behind us from California offer, sight unseen cash offer. They shouldn't have taken our offer. I mean, it was just God's hand was all throughout the process. And so, yes, you are correct. You're spot on. Where we are led intuitively is actually for a reason. And it's because what is on the land or in the surroundings is actually there to heal us. And our bodies innately know that.
Yeah, that's so cool. And you talked about the whole concept of shedding, right? To let go and redefine. And I'm sure there's more to it because you didn't just land where you're at now and then begin where, you know, the flowers and the ferns and works that you do. I love some of the challenges that came about because as you're acclimating to this new life, there was something internally shifting in you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's so interesting. I feel like, again, hindsight, oh, it's such a powerful gift. You know, now I can see it so clearly. It was like, you know, a huge part of me shedding layers of me that were no longer serving me was for 1 year, I read this book called Super Attractor by Gabby Bernstein. And in there, she recommends that you journal and every day, and you answer a series of questions. And it's, who do I want to be? How do I want to feel? And what do I want to give? And then she suggested too, if you could start it with gratitude. So I did that practice for a year, not every day, but probably 4 to 5 times a week. And I would start with a gratitude list, super simple, you know, like sunsets, you know, what am I grateful for? You know, my child, my husband, our dogs, you know, latte, you know, just super simple things. And so that kind of gets you in the spirit, the energetic of gratitude, which, you know, we know that we can manifest things more easily when we are in a state of gratitude. And then I got real intentional about who I wanted to be, how I wanted to feel, what I wanted to attract, what I wanted to give back. And I think being super intentional for a year was a crucial piece of my process in being a readiness. There was a readiness that at the end of that year, I was ready to let go of drinking. I was ready to let go of a pharmaceutical sleep med that I had been on for most of my adult life. I was ready to shed those things because I'd gotten so intentional and so clear about what I desired. So that was a piece of my process of recognizing. And then when I made the ultimate choice of like, okay, I'm not going to do, it was like my birthday. And I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm not going to drink anymore. And so I just made the choice. And though it was challenging in the first 3 months, how do I fit in socially? How do I, you know, how do I even act? Like, this is what we do for fun. And how do I even show up and fit in and feel comfortable? Will people still like me? All the things that you go through when you let go of limiting behaviors and limiting beliefs, quite frankly, there was a readiness. There was a readiness that kind of accompanies that process when you get super intentional about where you want to go and changes that you want to make. And so I did. I shed quite a few behaviors that were a crucial piece of my evolution. There's no way. I wouldn't have done any of this if I was still drinking. I wouldn't have done it. I couldn't have heard the call. And I had to do those things first in order to hear the call and then take a leap of faith to create a different life.
Yes. I love that you share that because of the insight that came through that. And I just want to address this with our listeners. And, you know, you might not resonate and say, well, I didn't turn to drinking or some sort of other coping mechanism. What if our coping mechanism is the doing? Because we're all doing so much. So that is the distraction. What if we can do less to be more, do less to have more, do less so that we can really tune in and know more of what we're here for? What is our calling? What is our purpose? Why are we here? And to your point, because I had a very similar experience where I had to just step away from everything.
Yeah,
I didn't. I was very much a workaholic. And yeah. I say that kind of like jokingly, but I do love my work. And I always say that my work is my life and my life is my work. But there is if you look at it from like a Venn diagram, there's this intersection of being, because if I'm not being, I can't do my work. And if I can't be, then I don't even know what I'm here for.
Yeah.
So almost like those crossroads where you can really take that pause and reflect and say, you know, who am I? Who am I now in this season?
Yeah.
Who am I without fill in the blank?
Right.
Who am I to do those things that I want to call into in the future? Because the person I am today isn't the person who's going to be able to accomplish or achieve or become that woman that I want to feel so aligned and attracted to the calling that's on my heart, the things that are deep resonating deeply with my core and my soul. But if I'm here, how can it get there? And that's where we really tune in, because it's not about doing more.
Right.
When you have that innate calling and you know that whisper inside and that being, you fully step into her and you just blind faithfully, as Amanda had shared at the beginning, little by little, day by day, you start seeking out the evidence and the proof that supports you're on the right path. You're becoming the evolution of becoming, because in becoming, you have to shed, you have to evolve, you have to let go, you have to surrender. Things that are in this current season cannot carry forward into your next chapter. And that's a big lesson that sometimes is really hard.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, ooh, what a massive change.
Yeah.
What a massive change in environment to the crutches and the things that we want to hold on to. But we realize that if we're holding on to both, we're standing straddling both lives, and we wonder why we're stuck, why we can't make progress, why there's this angst inside of us. And then we try to treat the angst, but we don't really address what the real issue is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And there is something really interesting that occurs when we do less. You actually are more powerful to manifest. So at my day job, I'm in sales, and, you know, I live and die by my book of business. I'm 100% sales commission. This is how I pay my bills. And so before I made this move and before kind of COVID, you know, there was this hustle and grind and travel and go see your clients and just burnout. And I was miserable. Ultimately, you know, came down with Lyme disease in 2016, which I believe truly was just my body's way of signaling, hey, stop what you're doing. And your mind, body, and soul are out of alignment. Like, you've got to work to heal all three. And when you have alignment with all three, you know, our mind, our body, our soul, our connection with God, that I believe is when we have true wellness. And so I did this radical swing and I moved to the forest, and life's very quiet here and very simple. But I still have this day job of being in sales. And so it was interesting. You know, I still write my intentions, not like I used to. I don't do it 4 to 5 times a week, but I definitely throughout the year, maybe quarterly, I'm clear. Also on new moons, the energy with the new moon is so awesome. And so I'll write with every new moon what I want to let go of and what I want to bring in. So once a month, I'm clear on, like, okay, what are my intentions? So by all intents and purposes, based on our cultural conditioning, I should not have booked $3 million in sales last year, but I did. And I was actually doing less and I was hustling less. So that wasn't my best year in sales, but it was my second best year. And I've been selling for 15 years. So there's no, like, from the culture that we come from, you would say, well, wait, you weren't out there like pounding the pavement and you weren't out there like traveling and calling on all these different clients. And I wasn't. I was actually doing less. I was actually working less. I was actually more quiet, more still, more peaceful, more being just in the moment, being and listening exactly to what you were saying, listening to the wind and the way that it rattles the leaves, and listening to the paws that I hear in the forest. And what is that? Is that a bear? Is that a turkey? I actually was just being. And because of that, I was able to manifest and have this amazing year in sales. And things just started to come to me. It wasn't that hustle. It wasn't that grind. Opportunities that were actually very much in alignment with my dream type clients, they started to come to me. Existing clients, their book of business picked up. You could say it was coincidence, of course. You know, I know some people would, like, well, that was just coincidence that your business increased. And that was just a coincidence that they reached out to you and wanted your services. But I truly believe that when I stopped hustling and I was more mindful of being present and in the now and being present with my child and present with my husband and present with my dog and present on the land and present in my relationships and just learning to be still and to be quiet, that then turned on this faucet of alignment, and opportunities then came to me that were in alignment. It's all energy. It's all frequency. I'm learning. So it's, you know, when you can When you can meet the vibration of what you seek, then you attract similar opportunities. And it's just a totally different way of living. And it's far more freeing than the way that I was brought up to live, the way that I was brought up to live, and just the environment that I came from.
Ooh, I love how you broke that down, because I can definitely relate so much of what you just shared. And I'm going to second all of that, because for those that are like thinking, well, that's cool, that worked for you. But it's like, no, you have two different walks here and similar testimonies that when you stop forcing, when you stop trying to do all the things, you realize, one, again, the burnout is real. And if you haven't ever experienced burnout, it literally what it feels like, it's just everything in you just goes to ashes. Like there's nothing left, and you don't even have enough to ignite that flame of like inner confidence or inner like belief, because you have burned the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
And there's nothing left of you.
Right.
So when you become a seasoned burnout recoverer, me.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say, I feel like I've been there one too many times, that it's like you could sense when that's coming. And it's the awareness level, because it's almost like you recognize it ahead of time and you know the direction where you're going. And that's your indicator that says pull back. And when you can pull back, that truly is that gift that you get to give to yourself. And you realize now by pulling back, the story ends differently. And there's a whole beautiful life and world out there that is waiting for us, but we've been going against the grain and forcing something that's not meant to be.
Yeah.
So that like attracts like. That is the energy. That is the magnetic law of attraction. Like there are these, you know, the spiritual realms, the universal laws. Like there's all this stuff that we don't necessarily see.
Yeah.
But again, it's by faith we walk. And we trust, and there's this whole world that will come into our space if we're willing to surrender and be open to what could be, not what we think it should be.
Right.
And it's just so cool. So I love that you brought that up. And, you know, in the works that you're in now, I mean, how does that transpire into the works that you do, even with your clients? I'd love for you to touch upon, you know, what it's like to work with you in that space.
Yeah. You know, so it's so interesting. I think when you can learn to be still and learn to be present, I think I know your entire energy changes, and there's a shift and there's a trust. And like you said, there's this dance of surrendering. And it just seems as though once you can learn to lean into that process, everything becomes easier, and you can see the beauty in things and the beauty in people. And even, you know, obviously I'm inundated with emails all day and bids on different jobs, and that we have to price and we have to turn in RFPs, and then we have issues out in the field, and then we have to resolve issues. And there's something though that's shifted in the way that I respond to the issues that come up, or if I have a difficult client that has a meltdown, or that's just a more challenging client, I show up differently to those circumstances. I react differently. I'm less triggered. I can kind of come into situations with more compassion versus being reactive. Whereas when I was burnt out and overworked and just exhausted, you know, I was more triggered by things. I took things personally. Now I don't really take things personally, because I realize that it really never has anything to do when someone's triggered and acts out. It actually never has anything to do with us, though it feels that way. And often, you know, you can be on the receiving end of cruel comments or, you know, a myriad of different emotions. Yeah, I've just found that I'm so much more grounded in whatever comes across my path. And it just makes life more fun. You know, it's, there's a sense I have this happiness. I've always been fairly happy on the happy spectrum, and definitely have had ups and downs through life and traumatic events like everyone. And my fair share of navigating grief and shame and guilt and all the things that go along with the human condition, just part of being a human on earth. But I've definitely been more more happy on the happy spectrum. Now it's interesting, even when you take me out of the forest and you can put me in any city, there is this really lovely, just kind of omnipresent sense of happiness that goes with me. And I can see the divine. It's like, I'm just more able now, I guess, to see God. And, God is everywhere, even in, the cities that are struggling with crime and, everywhere. It's in the trees and the birds, and it's in humanity and humans and all the things. So I think it's more just about those shifts that have happened internally in the way that I take on the world now, if that makes sense.
100%. I love that you brought that up, that God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. And when you can understand the power of our creator who created everything that we see, we realize that he also created us.
Yeah.
These tiny little individual things that we feel like, is there even a God? Is he listening? And no, he is.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful walk and relationship that you can have with your creator when you can really see him and the beauty of all that's within and around you. And you realize this is all ours to share and be a part of together. And yeah. It's so cool. So cool. So I mean, gosh, your story is just, I'm in awe of it. I love it. I love these stories and the connectivity of everything. And when you see how every little detail served a purpose into where you're at today. And never discount that. Never.
Yeah. I mean, I just follow the breadcrumbs, because we are so protected and so loved. And you tapped into the laws of the universe. And it's really that everything is working for us, not against us. And when there's something to that dance of trusting and surrendering, and when we can turn it all over and say, okay, I trust you. I trust you fully. I know that this path is perfect. Please continuing just to open the doors and little by little. And, you're not going to have the full view that I now have years later, and I can zoom out and look at it in its entirety. You aren't. It's just these little baby steps, but you keep taking a little baby step and a little baby step. And before you know it, you can look back and go, okay, that's the most beautiful tapestry I have ever witnessed. But in the moment, you can't see the full thing. So, just keep trusting and just get clear on your desires, because, I truly believe we can manifest a life that is in alignment with our heart and our soul and in tandem with our creator. And it's really cool when you understand that.
It really is cool. And that's why I say, he isn't wonderful and awesome God, like the awe. It's almost like there's no words, but the awe part of it. But I would love for you to share how people could follow along with you, connect with you, and learn more about this incredible works that you're doing especially with your new brand.
Yeah. So you can reach me on my website at amandawatsonjohnson.com, and you will find everything there. So there's a link to the podcast, which is Chime In with Amanda Watson Johnson. You'll find my flower essence line on there, Forest of the Ferns Botanicals. And then you also can get in touch with me for coaching. And if you cannot afford my rates that are on the website, just reach out and let me know what you can afford. I mean, I'm truly here to serve and am happy to make any accommodations that I can to work with people. Yeah. And I'm coaching people to guide them to let go of limiting beliefs and limiting behaviors so that they can get clear on what kind of life they desire. Often we have to let go of the things that are keeping us shackled and small to even be able to tap into our desires. I can't tell you how many people I've worked with I don't even know what I desire. And it's like, yeah, no, I know. It's okay. We can get to that, but often we have to let go of the things that are keeping us shackled and playing small before we can even begin to tap into our desires. So yeah, you can find me on the website. And then I'm also happy to make you a custom blend from my botanical lines if you want to do a consultation that way as well. But yeah, the website has it all.
Awesome. So of course, all that will be in the show notes. So be sure to link out and connect. And of course, if this episode resonates, be sure to reach out to Amanda. She is, you know, this is what we do. We come from a place of service and we want to know that, you know, our works are making an impact and a difference. And that's really, it comes full circle. So I just want to thank you, Amanda, for being here.
Oh, thanks, Rachel.
Oh my gosh. I feel like we could stay on forever and ever.
But I know. I love it. Well, I love what you're doing. Thank you for your work and your service and making a difference in people's lives and inspiring them and sharing different ways to live better. And thank you. Thank you so much for your work and for having me on.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.